have to fight for it because it is our own future and the next generation and also the Hong Kong people.
Young residents at risk on Hong Kong streets. It's Tuesday, October 15th. This is VOA Asia. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. Find us on Facebook at VOA Asia. Also ahead, foreign workers caught in Hong Kong's turmoil. Typhoon rescues continue in Japan. Western values collide with China's entertainment market. Democrats debate and animal heroes cheered. It's all on today's VOA Asia. Nearly one-third of Hong Kong pro-democracy protesters who have been arrested by police are under the age of 18 years, according to the government. VOA's Brian Patton reports Hong Kong's leaders are appealing to parents and teachers to restrain their children from getting involved in illegal acts that could end up destroying their future.
The pro-democracy movement in Hong Kong has been predominantly made up of young people who want to protect the autonomy and civil liberties they have enjoyed from what they see as the increasingly intrusive and repressive government of mainland China. Many high school students have also joined in the demonstrations that have disrupted Hong Kong for the last 4 months.
Because the futures belong to us and we have to fight for it because it is our own future and the next generation and also the Hong Kong people. If we not fight, and then no one fights for it.
Since June, 750 teenagers under the age of 18 have also been arrested for being part of the anti-government demonstrations or related illegal activities. They make up nearly a third of the over 2,000 total arrests. Many young activists were apprehended for engaging in aggressive tactics to force the government to give in to their demands for democratic reforms. But some recently were arrested for wearing masks to disguise their identities during the protests in violation of a recent anti-mask law. Hong Kong Chief Executive Carrie Lam says the anti-mask prohibition is aimed particularly at deterring underage youth, and authorities have urged parents and teachers to keep children away from illegal activities. Some students say their parents support their participation in democracy marches, but have cautioned them not to engage in violence.
They do support, but they think we should not stand in the front line, but the peaceful protest is absolutely acceptable.
The government also required Hong Kong schools to report any students wearing masks and participating in anti-government demonstrations. Last week, tens of thousands in Hong Kong marched in defiance of the anti-mask law, and democracy activists say they will not be deterred by law enforcement efforts to suppress their free speech. Brian Patton, VOA News, Hong Kong.
These are among the top Asia stories that you'll find right now when you make a visit to voanews.com. Hong Kong police say homemade bomb targeted officers. Vietnam tops list of trade performers in ASEAN. A report says South Korean pop star Sully found dead at home. Meet the new military-industrial complex in Taiwan. U.S. and China experience NBA controversy backlash. VOA Asia Facebook is your destination for expanded coverage of these stories and much more. We also invite you to stop by the voanews.com website. VOA Asia continues. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. Anti-government protests and unrest in Hong Kong continues after nearly 4 months. Among those affected by the turmoil are about 400,000 foreign domestic workers, mostly women from Indonesia and the Philippines. VOA's Patsy Whitaker-Sawara brings us this report from Hong Kong.
Pro-democracy protesters in Hong Kong show no signs of slowing down after nearly 4 months.
All the Hong Kongers is their lifestyle. We demonstrate or go to the demonstration on a Saturday and Sunday, or like holiday.
The protests affect everyday life in this former British colony, including for 400,000 domestic workers, mostly women from the Philippines and Indonesia. Rimiati from Indonesia says these weekend protests have been disruptive on her one weekly day off.
Yes, we are bothered, but we can't really say anything. Our intention is to come here to work.
With an average pay of around $600 US a month and no space to rest privately in their employers' homes, on their day off, domestic workers usually congregate in public areas to relax in their own community. But since the protests started, their options have become even more limited, particularly on the days when the subway system is shut down, either by vandalism or the government in an effort to deter protesters. Tessa Davsina from the Philippines is in her eighth year in Hong Kong.
Of course, it gives troubles to us, especially during our day off, because like this, we just stay in one place, we cannot go anywhere because there's no mode of transport, right?
The women say they neither support nor reject the pro-democracy movement. But they try to avoid rallies, which could mean clashes and tear gas.
When we don't have anywhere to hang out, our employer usually tells us to go home.
We cannot join them, right? Just watch them or just make sure that we are safe.
Even if protests continue, Tessa and Rini say they will stay. Pro-democracy activists say their struggle is long-term. Eric Lai is the vice convener of the Civil Human Rights Front.
We want a democratic society. We want an accountable government. We want a balance of power relations between the state and the people.
A struggle that these women will continue to watch from the sidelines. Patsy Widakuswara, VOA News, Hong Kong.
Happening now in Asia, government officials in Manila have kicked off a polio immunization drive for children after recent cases have been reported in the country. The vaccinations are to be given for the next 2 weeks. Other provinces in Mindanao will be next. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. We're glad you're with us today on VOA Asia. Recovery efforts are underway in Japan after a powerful typhoon hit the central island, killing more than 30 people and briefly paralyzing Tokyo. Typhoon Hagibis left parts of the central and eastern portions of Japan inundated with rainwaters and floods from overflowing rivers. Close to a half million homes have lost power. The government has sent thousands of troops and rescue workers to help residents fight the floods and search for missing people. VOA Slotika Hoke reports the death toll could rise as some people are still missing after the storm.
Rescuers scramble to reach people trapped by catastrophic flooding brought by heavy rain that caused rivers to overflow. Serious flooding has entered residential neighborhoods in several parts of central Japan. Waters from the Tamagawa River have flooded a hospital in Setagaya City, east of Tokyo. More than 160 patients had to be evacuated.
The flood poured into the ground floor of the hospital and submerged the service counter, reaching up to the height of people's chests.
The government said the storm left some 425,000 homes without power. Prime Minister Shinzo Abe addressed the nation on Sunday.
Along with police, firefighters, and the Japan Coast Guard, 27,000 self-defense forces personnel are currently undertaking rescue and relief activities. We will continue to work with government agencies to repair the damage to infrastructure and recover water and power supplies and restore transportation services.
Officials say some of the worst damage was caused by the Chikuma River overflowing in central Japan's Nagano Prefecture. The full extent of the damage cannot be assessed until water recedes from flooded areas. After the storm subsided on Sunday, authorities warned residents there was still the risk of rivers overflowing and inflicting more damage. In addition, floods are expected to cause deadly landslides.
The major typhoon has caused extensive damage far and wide in eastern Japan. At one point, the special warning for heavy rain was issued for as many as 13 prefectures. There has also been emergency release from various dams and flooding of various rivers. It turned out to be a record heavy rain.
Landing restrictions at Tokyo's Narita and Haneda airports were lifted on Sunday, but more than 800 flights were canceled. Some of the fast train services also were canceled. Powerful typhoon Hagibis slammed into Japan's Honshu Island Saturday evening, bringing heavy rain and strong winds. The eye of the storm barreled into a peninsula southwest of Tokyo. The typhoon disrupted a three-day weekend in Japan that includes Sports Day on Monday. Zlatica Hoke, VOA News, Washington.
Coming up, a clash of cultures. You're listening to VOA Asia.
VOA Asia is on Twitter. Follow us at VOA Asia for developing stories in Asia, perhaps close to you. Our Twitter feed also has updates on programs you can hear and see, with links to easily find them. VOA Asia Twitter, we're always online for you.
This news from VOA Asia, a member of the South Korean girl music group FX and anti-cyberbullying advocate Choi Jin-ri, better known by her stage name Sully, was found dead Monday in her home just south of Seoul. At the age of 25, cause of death has not yet been reported. Visit VOA Asia Facebook for updates and much more. This is VOA Asia. As VOA Asia continues, the controversy between China and an NBA general manager does not come as a surprise to too many people who follow Chinese politics. They say it is an especially sensitive time in China with the People's Republic's 70th anniversary this year, trade tensions with the United States, and the Hong Kong protests. But China's strong response to the NBA brings light to the degree of influence and power China has on U.S. entertainment industries. VOA's Elizabeth Lee has this report.
NBA logos removed in China, and Chinese sponsors suspended their relationship with the NBA. It all started on social media. The general manager for the NBA team, the Houston Rockets, supporting the pro-democracy movement in Hong Kong.
The Houston Rockets went into damage control.
China has a huge amount of economic power that comes from being the world's largest population. Companies have to be very mindful of how much they want to be in that market.
The Rockets' general manager apologized on social media, saying he did not intend his tweet to cause offense to Rockets fans or his friends in China, and the NBA backed his right to free speech.
The long-held values of the NBA are to support freedom of expression, and certainly freedom of expression by members of the NBA community. And in this case, Daryl Morey, as the general manager of the Houston Rockets, enjoys that right as one of our employees.
The NBA does have a balancing act, though, and so does Hollywood. To some, Hollywood has been careful with the types of movies it is producing to positively portray China and avoid certain topics.
The most obvious ones have always been the three T's. Tibet, Taiwan, and Tiananmen Square, 1989. But anything that deals with sovereignty issues, anything that deals with what China calls its quote-unquote core interests, South China Sea, its sovereignty territory. But more and more, some people suggest that China's expanding that. Anything China doesn't like, you shouldn't do.
Certainly, you never want to offend your customers. But at the same time, to have Chinese ideas, Chinese government ideas and the ideas held by many people in China, to have those orchestrate what you say generally, that's problematic.
The creators of the show South Park dedicated a show to the entertainment industry's self-censorship to appease China.
Cut, cut, cut. Kids, let's not say anything about this being a free country.
Oh, come on!
Hey, these guys were nice enough to come all the way from China to help us with our standards.
Beijing responded by banning the show in China. Whether it's South Park or the NBA, China's response is having some unintended consequences.
The image of China is taking a beating all over the world as a result of this. It's calling attention.
Calling attention to China's influence of U.S. businesses and the Hong Kong protests.
Most people don't know about Hong Kong and really haven't paid that much attention to it. But now, with this NBA, it becomes part of the NBA, then you pay attention to it. And as people learn more, you're going to have people saying, well, wait a second, maybe people in Hong Kong have a point.
Experts say China wants to control its messaging domestically and is aware even comments made outside of China will find a way to its citizens inside the country. Elizabeth Lee, VOA News, Los Angeles.
This news break from VOA Asia. Rescue and cleanup efforts continue in central and eastern Japan after the powerful typhoon Hagibis made landfall Saturday. At least 40 people are dead as a result of flooding and structural collapses. You'll find all the big stories throughout the day on VOA Asia Facebook. This is VOA Asia. Now on VOA Asia, a dozen Democratic presidential candidates will be on stage for the party's primary debate shortly in Westerville, Ohio. The impeachment inquiry involving President Donald Trump is likely to be a major topic of discussion, as we hear from VOA national correspondent Jim Malone in Washington.
Front and center on the debate stage Tuesday will be the current Democratic frontrunner, Joe Biden, whose lead in the polls recently has been slipping. Biden told supporters this week he now favors impeaching President Trump.
He's already convicted himself, in full view of the world and the American people. Donald Trump has violated his oath of office, betrayed this nation, and committed impeachable acts.
Biden has now joined the rest of the Democratic field in calling for Trump's impeachment, including his closest rival, Massachusetts Senator Elizabeth Warren.
What he has done has committed impeachable offenses, and he should be impeached.
Warren continues to build support, and recent surveys show her effectively tied with Biden atop the Democratic field, according to the Real Clear Politics average of polls. Tuesday's debate will also feature the return to the campaign trail of Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders, who is recovering from a recent heart attack and who reached out to supporters through a campaign video.
And I also want to say that I am feeling great. I'm getting my endurance back, and I look forward to getting out on the campaign trail as soon as possible.
Much of Tuesday's debate is likely to focus on President Trump, says analyst John Fortier.
I think impeachment is going to be front and center. The candidates are all, I think, going to be very strong on the fact that they're for impeachment. I don't think there's going to be much daylight between them.
Those Democrats running behind the front runners also see this next debate as an opportunity, including California Senator Kamala Harris. Harris is also focused on President Trump.
He's getting Americans to turn on each other, and we need to heal. And I know I am uniquely able to bring our country together.
This will be the fourth Democratic candidates' debate, and several of the contenders have already qualified for the next debate in November. Jim Malone, VOA News, Washington.
Whoever wins the election will, of course, be protected by the Secret Service and Secret Service dogs. One such dog prevented a potential attack on President Barack Obama at the White House, and that dog has now been given the rare honor of an Order of Merit from a British charity, the first foreign animal to receive the award. As Henry Ridgewell reports, the brave recipient traveled in style to receive his medal in London.
Playful, affectionate, docile. Few would guess that Hurricane was a highly trained member of the United States Secret Service. In October 2014, when then President Barack Obama and his family were inside the White House, an intruder scaled the fence and managed to fight off the first canine team deployed to intercept him. Hurricane and Officer Marshall Meraki leapt into action.
The second he got target lock, I sent him. He weaved through our teammates. He took the individual down. Your normal scenario is that's it, and you go up and get them. This was obviously different.
The intruder punched, kicked, and swung Hurricane through the air.
You're not expecting someone to fight a dog back for that long with that much violence. The individual wasn't responding to any pain for whatever reason. So I had to sit back and kind of watch Hurricane go to war. It was one of the hardest things I've ever had to do.
Hurricane's jaws were locked on the suspect's arm, and he eventually drove the man to the ground where he was detained by armed officers. The dog was badly injured.
To see him afterwards, after that happened, bring him back to the car, and have him look at me like, you can read his mind. It's like, Dad, did I do a good job? He doesn't know he's protecting the White House. He doesn't know the president and his family are inside. He's doing that for me.
Hurricane was awarded the Order of Merit Friday by British animal charity PDSA, seen as the animal equivalent of royal recognition.
It's given for animals who show distinguished service to society, who go above and beyond that of human and animal companionship, devotion to duty.
Hurricane was given VIP treatment for the trip to London, a limousine ride to the airport and a flatbed seat next to his lifelong best friend. The Belgian Malinois retired from active duty in 2016 with health problems caused by the attack. Now he's living at home with Meraki, just living a simple dog's life with plenty of love and attention.
After an heroic career protecting the president and now an Order of Merit hanging around his neck, Hurricane can look forward to a first-class retirement. Henry Ridgewell for VOA News, London.
You may not think of rats as being particularly heroic, but they are highly intelligent. They have a keen sense of smell. For the past 20 years, a nonprofit organization in Tanzania has been training a special breed of rats to help save lives. VOA's Julie Tabo caught up with a member of their research team in Charleston, South Carolina.
Seeing a rat on a leash may seem a bit unusual, but this little critter is actually on a mission to sniff out landmines and help save lives. Scent detection rats like this are trained at APOPO, a nonprofit organization in Tanzania that teaches rats to use their sensitive noses to locate landmines.
Here you go.
Ellie Cutright is with their research team.
When the rats are working in the field and they find a landmine, they scratch on the ground, and that's how we know. We place a little marker there, and then we can go safely remove those and get rid of them.
The rats are born and raised at APOPO and trained using a click and reward system that works wonders.
He doesn't want to peel.
Working with rats at APOPO has been a perfect fit for Cutright, who has loved the frisky critters since childhood.
Everybody should know that these rats, they're not stupid, they're not terrible animals, they're really intelligent and they can be trained to do some amazing things.
Once trained, the rats work in minefields in Tanzania and other countries around the world where an estimated 110 million hidden landmines and other explosive remnants of war are at risk of exploding. Traditionally, landmine detection is done by humans and machines, but rats are more effective and cost-efficient. While they're too lightweight to set off a mine, they're still risking their lives. So these giant pouched rats are nicknamed hero rats. To date, these diligent heroes have detected more than 107,000 landmines and unexploded ordnances, freeing almost a million people from the threat of explosives. Cutright started working at APOPO last year after graduating with a degree in psychology from the College of Charleston in South Carolina, where VOA caught up with her during a recent visit.
I took a psychology course in my first semester here, and I just really fell in love with it. So I was just really excited by all the possibilities and what I could do.
School president Andrew Hsu is proud of the education his students receive.
We prepare them not only with the sciences they needed in order to succeed, but we give them a well-rounded liberal arts education so that they have the ability of critical thinking, creativity, collaboration, and communication.
That preparation is helping Cutright educate people every day about the hero rats she's come to adore.
I think the work that APOPO does is really important in kind of spreading the word that rats are not just a pest. They really are heroes, and they show us every day that they are worthy of that name.
Julie Tabo, VOA News, Charleston, South Carolina.
You've been listening to VOA Asia. You'll find our full-length programs every day on iTunes and SoundCloud. You can also find us on our Facebook page, VOA Asia, as well as Twitter. VOA Asia is on Twitter as well. Follow us if you have a chance. We'd love to see your comments as we post ours. You can hear our program on the radio, U Radio of Hatay University, FM 101.25 at Hatay University in Thailand. Hello, and thanks to everyone there who's tuned in today.
We also send our thanks to director Tracy Carter, engineer Nelson Lopes, our managing editor Diane Gao, our VOA Asia team, Ira Melman, Keith Lane, and our interns Hayoung and Afra. I'm Jim Stevenson. We're in Washington. We hope you have a great day ahead.